chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we want to begin reading in verse 14. Verse 14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." We want to present a message tonight entitled, "Why We Shouldn't Complain." Let's go into a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening, Lord. We're so very thankful, Lord, for Your mercy, Your grace, Lord, that You've shed abroad in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You may grant a blessing to each one that's here tonight. We pray, Lord, that You may prepare our hearts and our minds for the truth that is that will hopefully be taught, Lord, through Your Word. We pray that You may use this message to draw Your people closer unto Yourself, Lord, and help us to be a people that's content and happy in what You provide for us in our life. We pray, Lord, that You may be with the Beals family, Lord. We think of them, and we think of our church family, Lord, as we've lost a member as well. We pray, Lord, that You may just grant comfort there where it's needed. We pray, Lord, that it may be a comfort that's based on Your Word and not on some sort of false hope, but based on what You give us in Your truth, in Your Word. We pray, Lord, also for our pastor. We thank You, Lord, for him. We pray that You may bless him and keep him safe as he'll be traveling back and forth this week and preaching. We pray that You may give him the message that those people stand in need of, Lord, and that You may bless those services where he'll be at. We pray, Lord, that You may go with us now. We pray that above all else that Your name may be glorified and honored in the service tonight. And we ask all this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we want to speak about maybe one of the most tolerated sins by those who claim to be children of God. Not only is it tolerated, but we probably even find it a bit hard to even consider it sin, because we're so prone to do it, I think. And of course, as indicated by our title, that sin is the sin of complaining. And we may look at this verse 14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And we may think, well, you know, why couldn't Paul have been a little bit more realistic here? Why couldn't he have said, you know, try to do most things without murmuring and disputings, or try to do some things without complaining? But he doesn't say that. He says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Now the context, especially when you study out what these two words mean, murmurings and disputings, and you compare Scripture with Scripture, I believe it bears out that the context is really primarily complaints about others. But we're going to kind of apply this really to all types of complaining, because I do believe it applies across the board. But I believe we often see our complaining improperly. We may just think of it as venting or getting something off of our chest, or we may only think of it as just showing our dislike or disgust towards the circumstances of our lives. However, in truth, murmuring, complaining, disputings, it is not just a disdain for the circumstances of our life, but it is actually a showing of disdain towards God, who has allowed those circumstances and people in our lives. Tonight, we want to go through some reasons, and I believe Paul gives three reasons here, why we should not complain. And I find it very interesting the angle, if you allow me to use that word, that Paul takes in examining or discussing this sin. While it is true that complaining is really an indication of our attitude towards God, Paul doesn't really focus on that aspect of this sin in Philippians in chapter 2 all that much. The primary focus is really on how our complaining influences or affects those that are around us. So, it's very, I think, practical in nature how Paul addresses this. So we want to look at these three practical reasons that Paul gives of why we should do all things without murmurings and disputings, or why we shouldn't complain. And Paul answers that question in verses 15 and 16. But reason number one, complaining ruins our witness before the world. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now first off, notice the way of the world. The way of the world is that of crookedness and perversion. The more crooked, the more perverse that nation or the world may be, the more that world or nation needs that which is not crooked and not perverse. Now, because of how wicked the world is, I don't think there's much to wonder here why Paul says what he says in the last part of this verse. Notice the matter of fact, a matter in which he states this last phrase. He says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He does not say that we should or that we ought to shine as lights in the world. But he says that we just do shine as lights in this world. Matthew chapter 5, of course, probably familiar with it, has a very similar statement as well that says, ye are the light of the world. Those are statements of fact. The world is so dark, so crooked, so corrupt, so perverse that even the smallest flame will shine out in the world to some degree. Even the weakest child of God, who may just be barely flickering at that particular moment, will be evident in such wicked surroundings. However, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be a low flickering flame out in the world. I want to be a blaze of fire that for the Lord, that the world just cannot help but take notice of. And when I say can't help but take notice of, not that they take notice of me, but that the world might take notice of the one that is the origination of the light that comes from my life. The one who is the light, the only source of light, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want my light to shine that others may glorify my Father that is in heaven. But this is one of the reasons that Paul says we should do all things without murmurings and disputings, because complaining will just flat out ruin our witness, our report to the world. We are to do all things without complaint, without murmurings, without disputings, that it says that you may be blameless and harmless before a crooked and perverse nation. As crooked and perverse as this world is, you better believe that they're going to look for any reason to doubt your profession of faith. They will seek out reasons to discredit your life. So we should not give them any type of ammunition against us, because they will look for it. And if it's there, they'll probably find it. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that your light is going to shine very bright to the world if all that they hear from you is negativity, complaints about this, complaints about that, complaints about your brother or sister in Christ, complaints about what's going on in the church, complaints how this person dresses, how this person does this or does that? I don't think that's going to shine much of a light for Christ. If you've ever been around somebody who just complains about everything and everyone under the sun, and if you've never been around someone like that, then you're probably it. But you've probably thought, you know, man, they just got to be miserable people. Well, when the world, when they hear that and see that from us, that's probably what they're thinking about us as well. They probably won't care to be around us because we probably depress them. And they probably think, well, if that's what being a Christian is all about, then I don't really want anything to do with it. All they do is gripe and complain about this, about that, about this person, about that person, everything coming in and going. It ought not to be. And when we do that, we certainly don't display a rejoicing spirit to the world. But we are to be blameless and harmless before the world. When we complain, that gives the world, again, that ammunition against us. And when we complain, it harms things. It's a bad witness to others. Notice also along the same lines here that this says to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be the sons of God without rebuke. In verse 15 there as well. The clear implication here is that the child of God should be very much different from the one who is not a child of God. The way of the heathen is to gripe and to complain and to have these thoughts of discord among the brethren, among other people. So why do we want to identify with the heathen in such a way by engaging in complaining about everything ourselves? Always finding fault in everybody and everything. We are to show ourselves to be sons of God without rebuke before the world. In the way that we live, in the way that we talk, and that includes having speech that is without complaint. We are called to have a good report among men. We are to, as much as lieth in us, to live peaceably with all men. But certainly a complaining spirit will not allow us to do that. It will ruin our report among the world. It will ruin our witness before those around us. So complaining ruins our witness before the world. Number two, reason number two, complaining does not hold forth the word of life. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Paul indicates that when we do all things without murmurings and disputings, we hold forth the word of life. Now, in other words, we apply the word of life. We observe the word of God. We attend to the word of life. We give attention to the word of life. But when we complain, simply put, we disobey the word of God. And that's really the basis of why we should not complain at all, because it is against the commands of God and God is not pleased with it. And while this statement of holding forth the word of life does indicate that complaining is sin and displeasing to God, again, the primary context here is concerned with how our complaining influences and affects those around us.
So the idea of holding forth here seems to be almost like a holding up of a torch. Not just in the midst of a dark world, of course we do live in a dark world, but also holding up a torch in the midst of dark circumstances. Imagine that you and there's others with you. Maybe you're in a dark cave somewhere. But you have this torch. This flame of fire that is lighting up the entire way. And you're holding up this light that not so that just you can see, but so that others can see with you. Now what's going to happen? Well, those others are actually going to take notice. There is going to be a manner of them being drawn to that light. Now liken that to maybe going through some difficult trial, some seemingly unbearable tribulation. A disease, an affliction, a death, a hardship, maybe even suffering due to some mistreatment from someone out in the world, maybe even a brother or sister in Christ. And instead of folding under the pressure, instead of complaining, and instead of holding contempt against the circumstances of your life or contempt against this person or that person, you remain joyful. You remain content, pleasant. You don't badmouth people to others either. But you face it head on with a resolve that I know God is in control. And regardless of what He allows to take place in my life, I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to thank Him in all things. Imagine what type of impact that may have on those around you. Here you are holding forth this light, and it shows others that this is the hope of a child of God. This is the peace that passeth all understanding, that only God can give. That would be adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ that men may be drawn unto Him. Whereas our first point was concerned with our personal witness before the world, this point is more concerned with the witness of Christ, the Word of life before the world. When we complain, we diminish the work of Christ, in a sense. Now, I don't mean we diminish it in a literal sense, literally, for Christ's work will accomplish all that it was intended to accomplish. But our failure to do all things without murmurings and disputings will diminish the work of Christ in the court of public opinion. What we must realize is that we are not just representing ourselves as children of God in this world, but we are, more importantly, representing the one we have committed our life unto, the one who gave His life for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are ambassadors for Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. How we live before men as God's people is really a presentation of Christ to the world. So how are you? How am I holding forth the Word of life before the world? Scripture tells us that we are epistles of Christ that are known and read of all men. What is the world reading from the way that we live, from our life? If Christ is so great, if His salvation is so wonderful, then why does this so-called child of God complain so much? That's what the world's going to think. When that is what they see from us. In a manner of speaking, when we complain, when we murmur, when we have these disputings, we give Christ a bad rap, if you will. So not only do we ruin our report before men when we complain, but we also ruin the report of Christ before men. Let's hold forth the Word of life. Let's hold forth Jesus Christ in a right manner, a right light before the world by being a complaint-free people. Therefore, do all things without murmurings and disputings, without complaint. For complaining does not hold forth the Word of life. Finally, reason number three. Complaining is a discouragement to those that care for your souls. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And then look at the last part of verse 16. It says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I find this to be a very interesting point, an interesting reason that Paul gives here, and probably something we don't give a whole lot of thought to. But what is Paul saying here? He is saying to the Philippians here that when they don't complain, when they don't murmur, when they don't have these disputings, not only will their witness before the world be blameless and harmless, and not only will they show themselves to be children of God without rebuke, not only will they be holding forth a good witness of Christ, holding forth the Word of life, but they will also allow Paul to rejoice in the day of Christ. That he would not have to feel like his ministry and his labor was performed in vain as it concerned those in Philippi. So what is he indicating here? Well, first off, I want to make the point that no labor for the Lord is ever done in vain. Paul himself wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, serving Christ is never pointless. It's never in vain, and Paul is not trying to indicate that it is. He wasn't saying that if they complained, then his work for the Lord would have been completely worthless, and he should have never done it to begin with. That's not what he's trying to say. But what he is saying is that he would have been prone to consider it pointless. While the reality is that true service for the Lord will always be pleasing to God, and God will always use that for His perfect purpose, the truth of the matter is that even what we may consider to be the best of men are prone to be discouraged. And Paul realized that he wasn't immune to being discouraged himself. So in essence, Paul is indicating that when he sees those that he has ministered unto and those that he has prayed for so hard and so earnestly and those that he has exerted so much effort in order to help them in spiritual matters, when he sees them endure the hardships of life and faithfully serve and trust God no matter the circumstances, no matter what man do to them, and they do that without complaint, Paul is saying that that is a major source of encouragement to him. When you are around someone who gripes and complains, let's be honest here, it's kind of depressing, isn't it? When you are around someone like that, it will often cause you to be discouraged and cause you to want to complain and be bitter about things. But think of how discouraging it would be for our pastor, who the Bible describes as one who watches for our souls. Imagine how discouraging it would be for our pastor to be around one of the dear members of this church And they are just grumbling and mumble and moaning over the things that the Lord has allowed to come into their lives, and they're complaining about this person and that person. I'm not sure that we give much thought to how our service, our obedience, our faithfulness, or lack thereof may affect those that do care for our souls and those that do put in so much effort in the keeping of our souls. And I wouldn't just say that this applies to pastors. This can apply, this aspect can apply to anyone that shows an interest in spiritual matters of one's life. Like it could be a parent, it could be some sort of teacher, whatever the case may be. But if we are often found in this discontented, grumbling, quarrelsome state, it may cause our pastor or our mother or our father or those that care for us to be discouraged. It may cause our pastor to think that maybe he has failed in his ministry concerning us. It may cause him to think that all of his devotion, all of his commitment to us has been all for naught. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to put that on my pastor. Or anyone else for that matter. But do you realize that of all the things that Paul had to suffer, all the difficulties of his life, the beatings that he had to go through, the shipwrecks, the snake bites, all these things, the imprisonments, probably his greatest burden and troubles concerned his caring for the saints of God. In 2 Corinthians, you probably know where we might be going with this, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, look at verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He mentions the care of the churches here, and he mentions them last, seemingly indicating that he would rather face all the opposition that the world would want to bear down upon him than to face opposition or unfaithfulness from those that he had the oversight of or cared so much for as children of God, as saints of God. You know, I cannot imagine the pressure and the stress that must be on our pastor at any given moment. You know, he has a burden for the people here. You know, he labors and toils and studies to present us the Word of life. You know, he labors and toils in prayer, interceding for us before God. It has to be a difficult thing for him to see so many of our members in sickness and in difficulty. And I'm sure that it has to weigh on him. But imagine how much of an encouragement it would be to him that in the midst of these sicknesses, these afflictions, these difficulties, these hardships, our pastor sees us enduring those things with meekness and in a calm submission to the providence of God, remaining steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we do it all with thanksgiving, without backbiting, without complaint, without murmuring, without disputing, committing the keeping of our souls to a faithful Creator. Look at 3 John, and we're about to close here. The 3 John. It's only got one chapter there, so starting verse 2 there. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." While our pastor will still, I'm no doubt, burden over the circumstances and the difficulties of our lives, when we are rejoicing, holding forth the word of life, even in the midst of those difficulties, that allows Him to rejoice in that His laboring and toiling for our souls were not in vain. That it actually has benefited us in a positive manner. Now, I'm sure this verse that we just read here in 3 John, that verse 4 there, is true for our pastor just as much as it was true for the Apostle John. But he had no greater joy than to hear of those that he has labored for in the Word of God, to see them walking in the truth. And what is part of walking in the truth? Doing all things without murmurings and disputings. Without complaint against our circumstances, and without complaint against the people in our lives, against others. In conclusion, I ask, what does complaining really do anyways? Now, you may be able to call up Brother Josh Ross and complain at DirecTV, and he might give you a few dollars off your bill next month. So there may be an aspect of where you got something you wanted or thought that you wanted by complaining. But listen, you break your leg, it's not going to unbreak itself just because you complain and gripe about it. Again, in certain circumstances, complaining may get us what we want, at least what we think we want, but at what cost? It may cost us a good report among the world. It may cost Christ, the Word of Life, a good report among the world. And it may cause others to be discouraged as a result as well. If you're saved, you really don't have much of a reason to complain at all. We are given so much by God already, and we're promised so much more in the future, that we should truly be ashamed of ourselves when we gripe about the people and the circumstances that we have to encounter in this life. We need to realize that the minor afflictions, the minor inconveniences that we might have to endure on this earth are far beyond worth it when compared to eternity. Instead of being a people who gripe and complain about everyone and everything under the sun, let's rejoice in everything that the Lord puts before us and see that as an opportunity to prove the Lord before the world. To hold forth that word of life that others may see. So let's be a good witness to the world. Let's be a good witness of Christ, and let's be a source of encouragement to our pastor and those that care for our souls. And let's live a life unto the Lord without complaint. That's our lesson tonight. We pray that it may have been a blessing unto you, and that the Lord may use it for His honor, for His glory.